from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Oh my gosh, both lights are totally and fully functional tonight. Holy,
the lights are on, crap. And we folks are on. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Alon.
And my name's Ara.
And this hurts my head.
You're wearing your headphones?
You're trying to fuse the headphones under your dermal...
I thought it might be a good layers. Idea, but it's not.
All right. Well, dermal, by the way, means skin.
Yes.
He's not putting the headphones under his skin.
I'm acting!
All right. Just
you're making stuff up. That's not acting. Well,
my friends, that's what I call good radio.
Okay. I'm just trying to clarify. So we do a video game radio show here once a week. ChatterboxGameShow.com is the name of our website. You can go check it out. Now, you came in earlier, Ara, telling me you've got a whole bunch of good stuff to talk about, and then you showed me something about a fake dick.
Yes, and I do. It's hard to get your attention, but I know that whenever there's the twigs and berries involved, that will get your attention one way or the other.
Yeah,
I'm going into our chat room right now.
Ooh,
to
dick
and see if that gets any people's attention.
And before I start, I will say that I did go before the show, so we will not have
a redo of
last week's incident.
I hope not. I'm actually not even sure if we're allowed to use the word that I was using a minute ago.
there's a product, and the product, since it's a proper noun, is called the Joy Dick.
Yeah, that's a trade name, can't be censors.
I mean,
can't get on our butts about that.
Really, you can't talk about this product without saying the word Joy Dick. So.
Okay,
your first question that comes to mind is,
what is the joy dick?
What is the joy dick?
Please tell me about the joy dick.
Is it like a joystick?
Wait, before
we move on, can you tell me the name of it again?
It's called the joy dick.
Can I guess what it is?
No.
Because I think it's a joystick in the shape of a phallic symbol.
Oh, it's so much better than that.
You can definitely say penis.
Penis?
Yes. So much better.
It's a joystick in the shape of a penis that you can suck and control the games with.
You mean
Now you've taken things a little too far.
Wait, so you're saying you would suck at the games if you use the joy deck?
I don't know.
Let me go through the requisite normal stuff, and then we could start giggling again. So
I'm not sure what you mean.
This is an invention from this place called San Francisco Media Labs.
Out of San Francisco, that's such a surprise.
What a surprise, and apparently they are sufficiently bored to do something like this.
Or sufficiently interested in joy decks.
Yes, or that. Yeah. So maybe probably a combination of both. Now... They've written some wonderful prose that I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but I'm just going to give you guys a little taste of what a fantastic...
You're going to give me a taste of the joy dick?
Yes, as it were. So what is the joy dick? The joy dick is... This is very scientific now, guys. A wearable haptic device. If you don't know what that means, look it up. I won't tell you. For controlling video gameplay based on real-time male masturbation. Through the use of a carefully designed strap-on interface.
I'm going to need you to repeat that last
I'm
part.
I'm using all of my effort to not just bust out laughing.
Try this again. What is it actually? You wear it?
I'm not going to repeat this again, okay?
You wear it?
A haptic device for controlling video gameplay based on real-time male masturbation. Through the use of
the games are based on that?
Just listen. Just go with it.
I can't understand what's going on.
No, you'll understand.
It'll motion controls the game?
It'll come together. Just humor me for a moment.
Okay.
Humor San Francisco Media Labs for a moment. Through the use of a carefully designed strap-on interface, the user's penis is converted into a joystick capable of moving the character on screen in all four cardinal directions.
Wait.
No, the actual
penis
questions
or a fake penis?
Later.
Yeah, it's apparently
actual.
Strapped on.
Actual
but why would
penis.
You need to strap
actual.
It on? I don't
okay.
understand.
For games requiring the fire button, a separate ring can be worn.
A ring?
A ring.
What is going on?
Can be worn, which converts hand strokes into button presses. So now, the logical follow-up question
I don't think there's anything logical about
there's no logic.
Would be, what's the theory behind it? And of course, they have an answer to that. And so I'm just going to read this real quick, and then we'll descend into whatever we usually descend into. So the core mechanic is an action that the player does over and over again during gameplay. This may be rolling dice, or it may be frantically pressing a button. Although this behavior tends to vary, the objective of this behavior is always the same: to win the game. Our impetus to win can be seen as a drive towards transcendence, a transcendence that is both over death and, in a sense, a metaphorical death. Winning a video game is much like what Martin Heidegger referred to as becoming a being towards death, that is, a self-realized individual who has overcome uncertainty in life, reconciled their place in the universe, and has acknowledged death within their life. The simultaneity of both transcendence in life and the acknowledgement of death is also encountered during what the French like to call la petite mort, or in English, the little death. This is the refractory period following the sexual climax, in which a person can achieve no further orgasm and is filled both with pleasure and melancholy.
Am I going to have to have an explicit?
It's very serious.
So mark this episode as explicit.
This is rather explicit, is it?
They've taken this whole idea of, like, let's masturbate to play games, and they've somehow
When did that idea exist?
Well, that's what they're making. That's what this control is. It's masturbating to roll dice on a screen.
Now
did they make their own
game? But then
game?
They come up.
Okay, here's what they did. Their missive here, because you may think, wow, that's kind of long and protracted.
He's got pages
that was about
and
five,
pages printed
five
out on
times
this stuff.
Longer than what I just read to you guys. But basically, this is what they did. They took a Atari controller.
Atari 2600, super old school.
Right. And I don't know what happened to the actual joystick, but it looks like there's a tissue hanging out of it. I don't think that that's like the accessory. I think there's, I don't know, something's going on there. But anyway, attached to this Atari controller, there's a quite obvious phallus.
Okay.
Which is the sleeve.
I don't see it.
That goes over your thingamabob.
Wait, so the Atari controller is only used as the interface.
I think, right. And so this the sleeve that goes over your hoo-ha is
I got it. Give me this thing.
Oh man.
It's obviously a sheath enveloping.
What are we talking about?
It looks to me like a sheath you would put over the joystick.
No, you put it over your dick.
Hey, don't say that on the air.
Your joy dick.
Okay. I still don't understand.
And so apparently you can sense the direction it's being tilted in, right?
Okay.
So, okay, because it has a collar that wraps around that,
so
which is then connected to the controller.
And the collar is apparently what you...
So what?
Here's a
what
better
games
picture
do you play with? This is what it
you
comes down to.
You play any ones you want,
but
apparently.
Like, it's like, oh, I want to play Yahtzee. Like how exciting is Yahtzee?
No, they're playing Atari 2600 games because they're games that traditionally will use the four directions
and one button
of a controller.
Okay, so
right?
It's like, oh man, I'm gonna go play Berserk on the 2600.
Dude,
and like,
go Berserk!
How exciting can you
get? There's a YouTube video of this thing in use.
Yeah, it's real.
Oh, you know what? The blue phallus thing in this picture, that's not part of the machine.
That's
just something that would.
What do you mean that's... It goes on your thingy,
I think just the ring. The ring itself
No, I think just
on.
The ring goes around, and the blue thing is just to represent the fact that they couldn't put a penis in this picture.
Yeah.
Well, either way, it looks painful.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't think it's
I can't
painful.
Believe this took up 10 minutes of our show.
I just think...
And counting.
Like, you can't be limp and play these games.
No,
it wouldn't work.
No, you have to,
so like,
you have to perform.
You'd be really excited to play E.T. on the Atari.
It appears as though people have posted a link to this in the chat room, the YouTube video.
Ah, right. Cool.
So we're not responsible
I'm
for...
I'm being asked to confirm my birth date.
Anybody
and all I did was click a button that said confirm birth date. I didn't do anything else.
Are you 18? Yes.
Yeah, there's definitely a guy in the video who is manipulating...
Look,
a member.
I mean, look, they've got the transvibrator, all right? Apparently a bunch of guys were really jealous.
What's weird about this is, like, their whole, like, philosophical end
here,
to it. Like,
this.
Oh, this is this le petit
that,
mort
okay,
and
yes,
this and
that.
That
is definitely like, a very long and
I think it uses accelerometers or something.
Why can't they just be honest and say, like, we wanted to masturbate and play games simultaneously?
I think it's called a sophisticated humor of sorts.
This is crazy.
I don't know. It's funny.
All right. What I especially love is the related videos linked.
Yes. Anyway, I do have to say that, you know, we can say orgasm on the air, can't we?
Yes, you can definitely say orgasm.
So I mean, orgasm is a transcendent experience, and, you know, video games in many ways, especially when you're getting the highest score possible.
The blue
transcendent.
Thing is definitely not part of the machine. It's simply a placeholder.
I'm so disappointed.
It's simply a placeholder for lack of an actual penis in the photograph.
It's only the largest condom ever.
All right. Well, I say we move on to something else.
Fair enough.
There goes a whole segment.
Man, YouTube got really explicit.
If you want to talk about the Joydick, 866-536-1100.
Yeah. When you showed it to me, I thought it was just like another field of teledildonics.
That's right. You didn't think I was serious.
Oh, that's not it. All right. Well, I hope we have something a little bit better.
We have tons of stuff tonight.
Noah Weinstein was the person who put up this YouTube video. I suspect he's also the developer.
Yes, and maybe related to
Weinstein.
You. Yes.
That is a horny bunch of people. The Jews.
And Armenians.
We'll be back right after the break.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
Welcome back, everybody. Chatterbox Video Game Radio, your source for alternate controller inputs.
So,
I have more, but I'll leave it for a little
it's
later.
It's been confirmed to me that we remain a family-friendly program due to the fact that we were not censored even once in that last segment.
That's right. We run a tight ship here.
So we're safe.
We're no slouches.
We stayed on the air for 262 shows, so I think we're good. I'm going to remind everyone about our fantastic sponsor, the University of Advancing Technology. Head over to uat.edu to learn more about the programs they offer in terms of becoming a scholar. And, you know, they even have grad school. Like, you can be a grad student.
You can even maybe think of some alternate controller input devices.
I developed an alternative input controller while I was at UAT.
Yes, you were the pioneer of sorts.
No, it was a knockoff of an existing Konami controller, but...
Is that the dance pad?
No, the dance pad that I already done. It was. You've probably never seen Punch Mania.
Nope.
No.
Punch Mania, love it.
Punch Mania is a real game, right?
It's real.
Yeah. So you've played it?
Yeah.
All right. So there's the screen. Like every other game, has a monitor, right? It's vertical, and to the left of the monitor are three punching pads, and to the right of the monitor are three punching pads. So you have six pads total, and it's kind of like, you remember. No, because you're too young.
Because
you
everybody
remember.
Knows every serious fighter punches in six different places simultaneously.
Exactly. You won't remember Sonic Blast Man, but way back in the Sonic Blast Man, way back in the day in arcades, there was a game where there was a screen, and then right below the screen was this big pad that came up on like a steel bar at the appropriate time, and attached to the machine, usually on some sort of cable or bungee cord, was a real boxing glove. So you would put it on.
Ooh.
So they wouldn't steal it.
Yeah. And most people would run like 20 feet back or as far as they could get with the cord still attached.
Also why it was tethered.
Yeah. And then run their asses at the game and punch as hard as they could. I can't imagine how many injuries resulted from use of this game.
I can't imagine how long the machine actually lasted.
And every time you went to the arcades, the machine was always broken.
I just say these people aren't very smart because they would realize running and punching probably isn't as good of a technique as like... Maybe
no, but
like
come on. I mean, how much more fun is that?
What, are you a proponent of the shot put?
No, I'm just saying, like, running 20 feet and punching.
I think if you do it right, you could probably get more force out of it. I think the main difficulty is that it's kind of hard to modulate your punching while you're running.
Because, I mean...
No. They would run at it, and then... It's not important, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, if you're running at it, the momentum of your body is going to be better.
Why don't we have one of these arcades?
But... That thing took such a beating that it never worked. Anytime you went there, it was broken.
And I have to add, the genius of the Sonic Blast Man character was that he had a boxing bell on the front of his forehead on his costume.
I don't remember that.
Oh,
but...
he does. It is so skillfully disguised and yet so obvious when you know it's there. It's hilarious.
All right. I'll have to find it on clav.com or something and show it to you, Rich. But so this game had a punch thing on it, right? And it could tell how hard you punched. And then if you hit hard enough, you would just defeat the character that you were fighting. So Punch Mania is kind of similar in that it's got these pads you punch, but it tells you, just like other Mania games, like Beat Mania or Drum Mania or Dance Dance Revolution, it tells you when to punch which pad. And so it's actually a lot of fun, and it's an upper body workout, just like Dance Dance Revolution is a lower body workout, at least if you play it well.
So you can play both at the same time and get a complete workout.
So I developed a controller, you know, built the pads and stuff, and I developed a six-button controller, which was in like a rectangular frame such that you could fit a monitor in the middle of it. And then I had a friend of mine programming a game for it, but he only, you know, he just programmed some tiny little thing that was a waste of time.
That was cool. You never told me this.
It's been sitting in my closet for like 5 years. It works. It works with a PlayStation controller, and then you rig it up through USB to the PC.
Let's go break it.
Anyway, so the problem is, though, that it's really hard. Like, you've got to mount it to a wall. Otherwise, whatever it's on is just going to fall or break. So you would have to put a monitor on the wall and then hope you don't miss and hit the monitor. Right. So I would probably build it with a Lexan frame in front of the monitor, but never got that far.
You should get some entrepreneur to buy it or something.
I don't know.
Prototype. Rare prototype. One-off.
I was building it as a prototype.
That's right.
Anyway.
Only $10,000.
So there's this thing I wanted to talk about for a couple of weeks now. quite a while ago, the middle of January, apparently Crescente from Kotaku, and it's rare that I talk about Kotaku on the show, but probably because their website sucks. But he asked the big video game developing companies or hardware companies, Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony, to write a letter to the end user, right? And he didn't find anyone specifically. He didn't go to Bill Gates. He just said, hey, here, PR people, find someone high in the company to write some letter.
But low enough so that they'll actually spend the time to do it.
Yeah. Now, we've wasted a lot of time talking about nothing this segment, so maybe we'll waste a little bit more. And I'll ask you guys, like, if you were in their position, we'll use Microsoft as the example, you're in this position to write a letter to your end user. Obviously, it's partly marketing, right? Because it's going to go up on a blog site, and it's just free press for you, right? So, speaking about the Xbox 360 specifically, what do you think this person, and I'll come up with his name later, this guy at Microsoft would want to focus on? Or what would you say, if given this opportunity, to say to the end user, remembering that the end user isn't necessarily a huge video game geek like we are, just your average end user?
Well, resisting the impulse to be wholly sarcastic, I would say that if it was the Xbox 360, right, seems like online stuff is their strongest thing.
You mean their best-selling factor that doesn't exist with the other systems, or at least that it does better than any of the others?
Yeah.
Yeah. Rich.
That's what I would say.
What?
He's not paying attention.
I'm trying to connect to the
chat room.
He's
falling asleep in class.
All right. Fine. I feel like teacher catching
you. Can throw an eraser at
him. No, as far as the 360 goes, like what I would say.
So what are the aspects? Let me just ask you this question, right? We'll separate it a little bit from the letter. What are the defining characteristics of the Xbox 360? When speaking to someone who might not be a video game enthusiast, but obviously knows what video games are.
Like, as a way to, like, are we convincing them to buy the 360, or is it more like, hey,
they've already purchased it. You're convincing them to enjoy it, or to make use of its wonderful features.
Okay.
Let me ask you three features of the system that you would want to focus on.
To highlight?
Yeah, that's a better word.
Xbox Live.
What aspect? Xbox Live covers a lot of things.
Online play, playable demos.
Okay, so what?
Streaming video. The new Netflix thing is pretty sweet, I gotta say.
Okay, so media. Netflix.
They actually, this is kind of not on topic, but it kind of is. I remember like a year ago, they said they did like a focus group study on the Xbox, and they found out like 75% of Xbox users didn't realize it could play music. And they're like, oh, that's awesome! And they're like so much more excited about the Xbox.
Yeah. I would have been excited if I had it before I had 50 other devices that could play music.
Yeah, which is weird, because like, to us, it's like, if it didn't play music, that'd be lame. But like all these other people are like, it plays music?
Dude, I wouldn't
care
because I never use that.
But yeah, I don't either.
It is like you can connect your Zune or your iPod right up to it.
That's Zune.
Yeah, that's kind of neat. So you would focus on the fact that you can play with others, the fact that you can get access to demos without having to leave your house, and then video streaming, movies, Netflix, or they have a lot of other things. You can just rent movies and stuff. Ara.
Yeah.
Your main focus is of the system.
Well, I have to get that specific. I mean, I would say online play. That's their strongest thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And actually, to drill down a little bit more, I would say that what they do way better than Sony, and you know Nintendo doesn't really even do this, is just their vast volume of free stuff, free demos. You know, not every PS3 game that you can buy online has a demo. It seems like even most of them don't.
Every arcade game has to have a demo.
What are you talking about?
Every Xbox Live arcade game has to have a demo.
Yes, that's
but
right.
Not everybody,
it's not true
not every
on the
Xbox
PlayStation.
Game,
that's right.
And Xbox Arcade is what I said.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of Xbox games have demos, though, as well, but not all of them.
Like I gotta say, it's very underutilized.
They're so much stronger than PlayStation, and you know, Wii is not even there in that
territory. Oh, not even close.
So that's what I'd say.
Okay.
And online play.
So, but I think asking this question makes us realize, at least when I expand out a little bit more, that there's so much to the system. And so we think back to like the days of Nintendo and TurboGrafx and Sega. Pretty much everything until the original Xbox was.
It plays games.
Pretty much nothing but games. Now, of course, once the CD system came out, TurboGrafx CD, Saturn, all those, okay, they could play a CD.
Right. But nobody bought it for that functionality.
Exactly. And in fact, the systems also had like video CD playing capabilities. If you got a special module for it, if
Dreamcast had it
right?
built in, didn't it?
Video CDs, no.
I'm fairly certain it did. Yeah. Unless it was burned DVDs.
Yeah, and the only video CD I was ever able to find was some kind of Chinese knockoff of some horrible recording of East 1 and 2, the anime. No. It's an anime convention.
One thing that was useful is the Sega Saturn could play CD and G discs, which are karaoke discs.
What?
They
have
yeah, they could play karaoke discs.
I had three of them.
Natively.
Information Society, Jimi Hendrix Experience. They made, I'm pretty sure they made, certainly less than 20, probably about 12 CDs ever that had the CD plus G functionality.
What do you mean they?
Anyone who made them.
Dude, there are hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of CD and G discs available.
They are.
That's not right.
Every karaoke disc is a CD and G disc.
Okay, well, don't count karaoke.
Well,
non-karaoke. Non-karaoke.
Well, I'm surprised Ara didn't mention the avatars.
So it's just a music album that has graphics as well?
Yeah, it's like a music video with four color graphics, dude.
Really?
Totally sweet.
That I would like to see. But all karaoke discs are CD and G. Well,
yeah, well, I'm not counting.
I think it's an old format. They might have replaced it with full video and stuff nowadays. All right, so I'm going to talk more about this when we get back. Stay tuned, everybody.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
And we're back at the Chatterbox Karaoke Playhouse.
Fantastic.
Apparently one of our fans, one of our listeners, Scott.
On the chat room, the live chat room.
Yes, Scott from Canada, known as Fopo in the chat room, was saying that he sells CD and G disc karaoke discs that are current. Right, so it's still the real format. You know when you go to those karaoke bars and they have, or a bar that has karaoke running, it's just like a blue screen with some white text that highlights.
Right.
CD and G, baby.
Yeah.
I've got a few back home somewhere. I don't know
maybe
what the hell they are.
If you buy the Information Society CD, it's 80s band, that is CD plus G. And also there's another one called Jimi Hendrix Experience.
Okay.
And they're regular CDs, but they're CD plus G too.
Cool.
And they're not karaoke.
All right. Well, I guess that's good.
And it was hot. That was, it's awesome.
All right. I was getting at was there are all these systems that have come out over time, right? And they never really did much other than play games. And in fact, before CD systems came out or any optical system, they were all cartridge-based, and they also required that you have something in the system in order to play. Like, that's how little functionality it has. If you didn't define exactly what you were doing before you even turned the system on, it wouldn't play. With the exception of the Sega Master System that had a small game built in from the beginning.
The Silly Maze.
Snail, I think. That's what it was called. Future versions of the Master System, by the way, had full games loaded into the ROMs.
That's very exciting.
So nowadays, there's so much you can do. And when this guy from Microsoft is given the opportunity, asked to speak to the consumer, he can't stop. Like, he just there's this long list. He just goes on and on and on.
Who's the guy?
It's
not Nelson, is it?
John Shepard, Microsoft's corporate vice president of Interactive Entertainment Live, software and business or services business.
Gotcha.
Software and services business.
So that means that there's probably about 13 other vice presidents.
Surely, Microsoft's a huge company, so that's fine.
Yeah, he's of the live division specifically.
But let's just ask ourselves, without reading the letter, right? There's obviously gaming, right? There's online play with other people, which is obviously a component of gaming, but it's important because it's not always there, depending on the system you play.
Mm-hmm.
there's Xbox Live Arcade, games that aren't purchased in a store, but can be purchased from home and played, and they're a totally different set of games. It's not just a digital distribution versus media distribution. It's totally different games. There's
downloadable content?
Yep, downloadable content to add to the games, which gives you longer life for the existing games that you do like. They have downloadable video, streaming video through Netflix. They also have original content. I don't know how much you guys have played with this, but you can go on like look at the comedy section or horror section and get this original content. I never understand what I'm looking at or how to find it. Like I went through all the free stuff a few weeks ago, and there's like a bunch of movies that are put on by the Navy or something. Have you seen this?
I know what you're talking about. I skipped over it.
Like they're built by the Navy, and it's just like a janitor who kills a bunch of people, right? And I don't know if it's like an online TV series or an Xbox only series.
Sounds just like wartime propaganda.
I have no idea. There's all these video features. I don't know where they come from. I don't know how you get involved with Microsoft to get them on the Xbox. I have no clue, right? But there's all this content, right?
There's just tons of crap.
Yeah, you can watch TV and movies. You can also get access. This is one thing Microsoft has done that maybe Sony's done, but I certainly don't know. Nintendo definitely hasn't. Back in the day, E3 was the big thing. We always wanted to go to E3. We would read about it in magazines, and that was the only way we could consume this amazing event, right? Which is now a lame event, but of course coming back to be a cool event again. Now you can get onto the Xbox and watch all this content they put on about E3, right? So you can watch the press conferences. Now, I've never actually bothered to do it because I'm always at the conference. I'm assuming you can only watch the Microsoft press conference and not the Sony and Nintendo press conferences.
Yeah, which is cool that they even put the Microsoft press conferences up and stuff like that.
Yeah, like if I were at Microsoft, I don't think I would tell them, why don't you also put up the Sony press? Like
that'd be a little weird. Actually,
maybe
it'd be kind of smart.
You could charge for it.
Because the Sony press conference was pretty terrible last year.
They'd be like,
look at this. We'll just edit Sony it to show the bad parts.
That would be funny if they had like a gag reel.
Awesome. That would be awesome.
But, I mean, they also have there's booth walk-arounds and stuff. And so the Xbox or Microsoft has put together, created this, like, Xbox lifestyle. I don't know if that's really the right term, but they've created this thing that's very special and different from really anything else out there.
I have to say, for all the system's flaws, it's not
it stops working after a while, but while it's working, it's great. And now they've integrated the play from hard drive feature, which is neat. And I was totally thinking how cool it would be to get a modded Xbox. This feature doesn't exist in pirate land, but this is a feature that would probably make me want to get a second modded one, not to pirate, but just to be more convenient. So we've got all these games, and we got to carry around the discs.
Yeah, just to install the games.
I just want to put them on the hard drive and not have to keep the disc in.
Oh, that's what I've been wanting for so long.
It is kind of annoying to have to do that, yeah.
I've wanted that.
Especially since my Xbox doesn't enjoy reading discs.
Yeah, I imagine
they're halfway there.
I imagine some pirate out there has found a way to just have the drive constantly tell the system, yes, it's got the right disc, whatever the disc is.
They're certainly trying.
Well, I think with the new update, it might be easier to hack that because they're halfway there to where it's like it's a built-in feature to install game. But it just has to check, is the disk in the drive? Yes.
Yeah, so they just need a new firmware, now that this feature's come out, a new firmware that says, regardless of what's in the drive, it's the right disk.
Yeah.
Right, to
and
just
so
always give
just
it the right
the
information.
Oh, I want that.
So that would be neat.
That would make me buy an Elite, because then I'd need the extra hard drive space. Because I don't want to go through the trouble of flashing a hard drive and redo it. Yeah.
All right, so...
I want
anyway,
that.
Let's get to this letter. John Shepard. It's a really long letter, so forgive me if it goes on for a bit. Maybe I'll cut out some unimportant parts. But he starts off, he says, "Welcome to the Xbox 360 community. I've been a gamer for over 20 years, logging countless of hours, playing thousands of games. logging countless hours, playing thousands of games. But from the first moment I turned on my new Xbox 360, I knew we were entering a new era of home entertainment. I signed up for Xbox Live, and before I knew it, I was connecting with friends, playing Geometry Wars in high definition.
I bet he didn't have to sign up for Xbox Live.
I just have
a feeling. I don't know.
I'm sure he did. Just maybe he did it by telling some dude, make an account for me. Anyway, so he's playing Geometry Wars in high definition and trying to earn the pacifism achievement, which still eludes him. He says, which still eludes me. See him. All right. So I was amazed at how much fun I was having before I even put a disc in the tray. See what I was saying? So much you can do without even buying a game. I hope your first experience in this new era of games and entertainment is as magical to you as it was to me.
They need to make the Magical Kingdom with all Xbox 360 themed rides.
All right. So far, as marketing-ish as this is, I'm actually happy with it. He's trying to be personal with his audience. He's making a point that you can play games without buying games, without going to the store. You can
you're doing it in
high definition. But he tries to get some street cred by saying he's trying to earn the pacifism achievement, which a lot of people don't know exists.
Yeah.
So the Xbox 360 is an amazing game machine. We have approximately 1,000 games, including blockbusters you can't play anywhere else, like Gears of War 2, Halo 3, and Fable 2. We also have great party and family games like Rock Band 2, Guitar Hero World Tour, Seen It, Lips, Banjo-Kazooie. No matter what games you like to play, sports, music, racing, action, shooters, role-playing games, you'll always find the best, most quality experiences on Xbox 360. Now, I'm curious how this same letter would go over in Japan. Of course, written in Japanese.
Yeah, there's one thing that they definitely don't do is support the Live over in Japan very much.
What? Really?
Yeah, and I know
even
this
in Europe.
Because I have the... Because a while ago, there was a method posted somewhere to...
Well, I know you turned yours into Japanese, right?
Yeah, well... It's not turning into Japanese. It's you set up an account in a certain way to gain access to the Japanese side of Xbox Live.
Yeah.
And it's a mere shadow of the U.S. side.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's very disappointing, actually.
Maybe because nobody actually uses it there.
It's possible.
All right, so he continues. But Xbox 360 is more than a gaming machine. Xbox Live opens up a whole new world of digital entertainment that's always evolving and adding new content every day. It's also a vibrant social network where you can stay connected with your friends and interact with over 17 million Xbox Live members in 26 countries. So we totally neglected to think of the fact that they have messaging with people, right? Like, you can use the machine just to text message your friends. You can use it to send voice messages to friends. You can use it to video chat with friends or 14-year-old girls. You can do... all of the messaging and not really a whole lot of community stuff.
Or pretend you're a 14-year-old girl if you don't use voice.
Video chat might make that harder.
And video chat.
But yeah. By the way, I found out today there's some, like, I don't know if she's Australian, maybe Australian. Some little boy, little girl started, like, he converted to be a girl at the age of 16. Like, official Operation Complete chopped off.
Oh, yeah.
Did we hear about this? And, like,
maybe.
Just released an album. Or like a single or something?
What, like?
Germany!
Like,
German! Oops. I think she's German.
What is it, like, oops, I did it?
I don't know.
For the first time? I don't know.
it's interesting. Little sidetrack. All right. It says, Xbox Live lets you get even more from your gaming experience with thousands of downloadable game add-on song levels, song tracks, new levels, and many other ways to extend your favorite games with over 30,000 movies, TV episodes, music videos from more than 45 global networks. There's something for everyone on Xbox Live. You can join Xbox Live for free or become a gold member. So he hits on all these different things you can do. It's really amazing. Now, I haven't even gotten to the Nintendo letter yet, but I'm curious to see the viewpoint that Nintendo will take when they're trying to push their machine.
I was expecting you to get to a part where you'd get pissed off at what he says.
No, I'm not going to get pissed off. It's very marketish, right? When someone goes to the company and says, we're going to post a letter that you write, whatever you want to write, we're going to post it on this hugely popular website.
Of course it's going to gush.
Yeah, it's just going to be PR and marketing, but they point out Netflix, Video Marketplace, Live Arcade, making friends, live community games. That's another thing. You can make your own game and put it on the system for other people to play. That's huge. The Inside Xbox channel, which is the thing we were talking about, like getting access to E3 and stuff. There's so much you can do on this. It's amazing. And now we can compare it to Nintendo and maybe Sony and see that there's not much you can do over there. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Chatterbox, video game radio. And now, your special host, Alon Weissman.
Special host.
I think this is the first time I've ever said your last name on the air.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
is that allowed? Am
sure.
I going to like be visited by some kind of Israeli mob member?
I don't think so.
Okay, good.
After all, the name is real. So I was going on and on about Microsoft and John Shepard's letter to the audience, and I'll get back to that in a second. Of course, before I do that, I'm going to mention once again University of Advancing Technology, UAT.edu, where you can go to get a degree in game design and game programming and all that stuff.
And maybe one day be a VP and have to write letters.
Do VPs write a lot of letters?
Well, at least one.
Oh, a VP of a company? I thought you meant VP of UAT. I was like, okay.
So.
Well, I mean, if you want to do that, that's perfectly...
So what are we talking about?
All right. Well, so I'm really gonna close up on this. I want to get to the Nintendo thing next week because I wanted to talk about something else before the end of the show.
I have. Can I mention where I think you're going with this?
I'm pretty much done. So
can sure. I mention something when you're done?
Go ahead.
Well, it just sounds like maybe the other letters are going to be pretty crappy.
Maybe. I gotta be honest with you, dude. I don't have them all memorized.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I just wanted to make the point that he's. It's talking about all these different things that I wouldn't have even conceived of.
It is rather voluminous, I must say.
Netflix is new, right? And that's just adding on to the bunch of things you could already do.
Yes.
Basically just what I want is Hulu. As soon as they integrate Hulu into one of them, like right now, I look online for streaming Hulu to an Xbox.
That's what the Alec Baldwin alien thing.
Right. So there's one piece of software called Play On.
That guy's getting fat.
But it's commercial software. It's like $30. And it's supposed to stream Hulu to your Xbox or your PS3 or to, like, any other device on the planet or something. So
Hulu. But that's kind of what Netflix is trying to do, though, is get a lot more streaming content.
Yeah, but I don't have a Netflix account. Hulu is free. Netflix is not.
Touché.
Yeah. So I'd like Hulu to be on there because right now, you know, I can watch movies that are stored on my hard drive and, you know, anything else I might have stored. But Hulu is becoming more awesome every day. And, you know, can't get that on the Xbox. At least I can't figure out a way to do it. and the PS3 does not run it well. Not at all. So anyway, he mentions all these things. Now, granted, he's somehow involved with Live, Microsoft's corporate vice
Baldwin?
President of Interactive Entertainment Live. Anyway. So
he just threw the Live in the name.
Yeah, it's just thrown at the end of this phrase. I don't quite understand
only
it.
Only the VP of Live. Only.
Yeah, but he discussed partying with other people, messaging other people, making new friends because you meet them playing games. That used to never happen. All these things that you can do with these devices.
Yes, partying today. With other people. I'm going to press the button. Okay, well, now we're all partying.
This picture, though. Yeah. All right, that's in my head. I'm not on the radio. I'll just get right to his closing address. Xbox 360 delivers more entertainment than any other device connected to your television. This is just the beginning of what you'll find on Xbox 360. I actually don't think so. He's covered pretty much everything, so I don't think that's just the beginning. I think that's the whole package. Home to more games and on-demand movies and TV shows than any other device connected to your TV, with new gaming and entertainment content delivered daily. Is that true? Is there new content every day?
Well,
yeah.
There's something.
Something.
It's usually annoying and leaves me scratching my head about what it is.
They have
and
daily
why
updates
there.
And some something.
All right,
but
fine.
It's something.
You'll always be able to find fresh new experiences at the touch of a button. On behalf of the Xbox team, I want to thank you, consumer, for joining the Xbox 360 and Xbox Live community.
Did he really say you three times?
No, that was that was some flair.
Okay. No, I'm just wondering, because if it would, I'd be like, wow, this guy's a real douchebag.
Well, thank you for your vote of confidence. So, see you online, John.
Cool.
Of course, he says see you online without providing his gamer tag.
Yeah. I want to see you online. Why won't you let me see you, John?
Whatever.
That's interesting. If we don't have...
No, see, he'll be seeing you online.
Yes.
You might not be seeing him.
That's what that means. Next week, assuming we don't get sidetracked, I'll try to get to the Nintendo letter, and we'll all discover live how that differs from here. Because really, I'll ask you the same question I asked about Xbox 360, about the Nintendo. What can you do on the Nintendo?
You can,
on the Wii.
You can waggle.
Ooh, you can play with friends online. Some games are actually coming
and
out.
And you can talk to them on Skype at the same time.
Yeah. There's not that much. At least when it compares to this super device that is the Xbox 360. And, you know, the PS3 does pretty much everything the 360 does, just doesn't do it as well.
And ironically, the 360 does not have a web browser, but the other two do.
Yeah.
Who needs it?
But you know why?
It's just, it's kind of cool.
If you're browsing, I would love to have it, but they're smart because if you were browsing the web, you wouldn't be playing their games.
You wouldn't Well, then you wouldn't need their content that they provide.
But still.
Yeah.
But I wanted to say something quick. Oh, an observation. I was telling you guys offline about the Jasper. I'm not going to get into details on the air. But one thing I noticed that was interesting with between the different chipsets that they have out, that they're
just
not
just
like,
point everybody out.
It's not the Simpsons character who says weird things. It's
no.
We're talking about Xbox 360.
The Xbox 360. They have the different chipsets, and I want the new one, heating, blah blah blah. But they have different power supplies for each system. But in accordance to the way they ship out their units, like for retailers, they're not different systems. They're all the same. So retailers don't care which system they have. If it's the new chipset or the old one, it doesn't matter. But
yeah, you mean
the
like
power
the UPC
supplies
is the
are
same.
Different. So, like, if your power supply went bad, you'd have to go to Microsoft to get it because they would ask you, like, what's your whatever, blah, 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 and then they would know what power supply you would need to get.
Right, but where else would you go? It's not like you can just buy one at the store.
No, yeah, you can. They sell power supplies in stores and, like, third-party, like,
but you have to get the
whoever
right
manufactures power supplies. I don't think they have three different versions of their power supply.
Three different connectors, you mean?
Well, it's not just connectors. The one power supply is like 200 watts. One's 175 and one's 150. If you plug the wrong one in, one, it doesn't fit. And two, if you actually shoved it in and managed it to fit, it would ruin your entire Xbox.
If it has the wrong connector, you're fine. But I'm not sure that they actually have different connectors on all of them.
They have a different plug configuration. So
actually, I know for a fact that the dev kits...
You can't plug in the wrong
connector.
Have
a different shape...
Yeah.
Power.
So okay. if you buy an old power supply and you have the new Xbox, it won't plug in.
All right. Well, what's funny is when GameStop has a collection of them in their back room and they start mixing and matching power supplies with systems, that'll be fun.
Well, yeah. Well, it's just not good. It's not good.
Well, no one's going to jam it in there. Who cares?
But
as long as you
what
get the
if
right
you,
one.
I mean, because it disconnects at the power supply box. So you could disconnect the cable and get one of the newer cables and just plug it in because that's just a three-prong plug. And so you could plug in into the Xbox with an old power supply. And, like, it would ruin the entire
You're
thing.
Telling me it has a different connector. So, no, it wouldn't connect
to
the system.
The connector from the system to the power supply cable.
Yeah.
You know how it plugs in? Oh, that's on the other end. I'm an idiot. Ignore me.
Can we talk about
it's just
more
weird.
Input devices? I have more stories about that.
No, I wanted to talk about Afro Samurai.
I know nothing about
Seriously?
That.
Seriously?
It's getting a lot of attention.
What is that? What is it? It's a movie? It's a game?
It's a fake anime.
It's not
they
fake,
made a
it's
game.
An actual anime,
No,
isn't
it's
it?
Made by American animators. It's in the anime style, but it's all American animators.
Okay, so what? It's not animation?
It's fake anime.
Yeah,
fake anime?
But it's an actual cartoon.
It's a cartoon.
Okay,
yeah,
that's
you played the game, Rich?
No, because it looks bad, because the animation, the cartoon was bad.
So here's what's weird. I've been seeing a lot of people, like, people are talking about it on Twitter. My friends have it. And, you know, my friends don't get crappy games, usually, anyway. So there's been a lot of attention around this game. And to my surprise, apparently that attention worked its way into retail and convinced my roommate to buy the game. And he is not into that kind of game at all. He's basically a first-person shooter.
Your roommate bought Afro Samurai.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
I'm Ag Hast.
Oh.
Yeah. So
funny.
I come home and he's like, "Oh, check this out." Like, he hadn't even opened it. He just wanted me to be happy that he got it.
I mean, what? He was excited because he saw an Afro? What?
I have no idea. So I was like, "Well, I'll play it. Sure. I got a show tomorrow to do." So I go downstairs and I pop in the game and
it broke.
No, it didn't break. Everything's good. Like the visual style, the production values in the game are really fantastic. Every part of the game that doesn't involve you playing it is really, really good. When you go to actually play the game, it's kind of like a poor man's Ninja Gaiden. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, hack and slash stuff. I'm not really sure how to tell when I'm about to die. I think there's this like slight red aura that like the edges of your clothing become sort of reddish. Honestly,
I've been described that way before.
No, honestly, I think that's how you know that you're low on health, right? But there's no real sound cues. There's not a very strong visual cue, and there's certainly no HUD or anything.
Looks bad.
Nothing whatsoever.
It's immersive.
It actually looks.
It looks
fantastic.
Pretty.
Well, actually, what's weird is your character looks incredible. And the beginning of the game, the very first time you're in the game engine. It starts off, and there's like a narration going on from Samuel L. Jackson, but it starts off doing this slow 360 around your character who's in a freeze frame, and just to like show off how awesome the character looks. But all the bad guys are maybe like a 20th of the polygon count, just a texture.
That's funny.
So, and there's one part we were fighting like totally naked chicks. Well, no, I think they.
That's almost worth the price.
They have their bikini bottoms on, or their stripper bottoms on, but they have no top.
Now you disappoint me, Alon.
But like four of them come down from a stripper pole that goes like 50 feet into the air.
What?
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's potentially redeeming. Ridiculous.
But it's weird too because it's Afro Samurai, like some American dude clearly in Japan.
So is it like a few people you fight at a time, or is it like hordes, like Dynasty Warrior?
You fight a lot. Okay. I mean, sometimes you're just fighting a few, sometimes you're fighting a lot. I haven't gone through a lot of the game. I've only played it for like an hour.
Okay.
But I gather from what I've seen that the game is very popular. And that I could be very wrong about that. But it seems to have a lot of popularity since I heard about it rather than not hearing about it. And when I played it, it has some cool features, but it's just some guys come up and want to fight you. And you fight them. And then some more dudes come out and want to fight you, and you fight them. And then eventually you fight, like, a bigger guy. And then it's just
some more dudes. This description could also fit some of the greatest games ever.
No, not the greatest games ever, but it could certainly fit a lot of other games. Like Teenage Ninja Turtles.
Do you move around, or you stay in one spot? Because you said people come out and fight you.
Yeah. Fine. Eventually, the screen stops and you're stuck in a relative box. Like,
okay.
You're in an area where you can't go beyond certain points. They do have a cool, like, where am I going feature. If you press down on the D-pad, then some smoke appears and your ally, who doesn't really do much,
tells you where
the Samuel L. Jackson character just says, hey, come over here, get your ass over here, and they swear a lot.
It's good to know where you're going.
So if you don't know where to go, you can just press down and he'll sort of, like, point you in the right direction. But he doesn't show up at the goal. He just shows up relative to the goal from where you are. So it gives you some direction without, like, an arrow that comes out of nowhere, which other games do.
That's interesting.
Right, so interface-wise, visuals, they did wonderfully. The sound is awesome. The voiceovers are awesome. Everything's good. It's just the gameplay suffers because it's just not that fun. So it's a licensed game. I guess you'd expect that.
Not as good as Metroid.
There's my mini review of Afro Samurai. Nothing special.
Or the mini bosses.
I'm no zero punctuation.
Yeah. Well.
All right, we'll be back next week, everyone. Thank you for listening. Come back again.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.